There is a woman by the name of Anne Marie Schmidt. She is a famous, internationally renowned Catholic speaker, an inspirational speaker. I don't know if she's still continuing to speak. She'd be quite elderly now if she has not passed away. But up until the late 90s and at the turn of this century, she was still traveling all around the world giving talks, largely about our faith. And she shares stories from her childhood. When she was a little girl, her family, she grew up in a very prominent Catholic family. In fact, so much so that when the Holy Father went, she lived in Eastern Europe, when he made a pilgrimage to their country, of all the Catholic families in their country, they wanted to find a home where the Holy Father could receive guests for a meal, for dinner. Her family was chosen. And she tells the story about that occasion. They're all sitting around the dining room table. They lived in a very beautiful, wealthy, elaborate home. They're sitting there, the nicest china is out. There are dignitaries from all around the country, even from outside of the country, the most famous, important people of the nation. And there they are sitting around the table with the Holy Father himself, the Pope. All of a sudden, the doorbell rings. A few moments go by, and one of the maids pops her head out into the dining room from the kitchen and motions to Anne Marie's mom. She excuses herself, she gets up, and she goes to the door. A couple of minutes go by, and the maid comes out, and she's setting another chair at the table and preparing another place. And Anne Marie thinks, what's going on? All the guests have already arrived. A couple more minutes go by, and she thinks, I better go get my mom. This is rude. She's leaving everybody waiting here. Anne Marie goes into the kitchen, and she says to the maid, Where's my mom? What is she doing? And the maid said, Jesus is at the door. And Anne Marie rolls her eyes. She goes, Jesus is at the door. And wants to go find out who Jesus is. She goes in, she opens, she gets to the front door, she goes to the entrance, and there is her mom in her beautiful, elegant, white evening gown, kneeling down on the floor with a little wash basin beside her, soap and a towel. And in her lap, she has the diseased, dirty feet of a homeless man. She's tenderly cleaning off his feet because he had no shoes. And Marie says, Mom, everyone's waiting. What are you doing? And her mom looks up at her because of the tone of her voice, surprised. She said, My daughter, I'll be there in a few minutes. We have another guest who has come. Anne Marie goes back to the table. A couple moments later, her mom comes in. She says, Where is that man? He decided he ought not to come for dinner. He'd just like a room for the night. I told him he could stay in the guest bedroom. The next morning, she is furious that this man would come at that time. Obviously, they're having a special celebration, that he would intrude. She goes into the room that he's staying in to give him a little peace for mind. When she walks in, the bed is perfectly made. No one had slept on it. There's no sign that the man had ever entered the room, with the exception of a red rose lying on the bed. She said she has wondered for the rest of her life, was it really our Lord? A couple of years go by and her country is invaded. The beginning of the Second World War. Her village becomes a labor camp, invaded by the Nazis. She said life became, they had this pleasant village, an almost entirely Catholic village. Life became hellish. You know, people didn't even want to live anymore. But she said everyone was afraid to leave because what would happen when someone escaped? They'd randomly select 10 people and create a firing squad. 10 people would die whenever someone else would leave. On one occasion, she was one of those chosen for the firing squad. She said she was lined up with 9 other individuals. The guns were aimed at them, and interiorly she was thanking God. Thank you, Lord, you're finally going to set me free. I don't want to live like this. The gunshots rang out. She felt a bullet, but she did not fall. She opened up her eyes. She looked. The 9 other people had been killed by the shots. The bullet that hit her simply grazed her head, and there was just a tiny little trickle of blood running down her cheek. She was furious. She yells out at the Nazi soldiers,
You call yourself the greatest soldiers in the world. You can't even hit a non-moving target. She begins cussing, swearing, yelling at him profanities. Her mother and father were watching her. She looks over and she sees her mom crying. The soldiers let her live because, with her remarks, they thought it was better that she live and suffer more than that we let her die easily. She went over to her mom to console her. She said, "Mom, Mom, don't worry. I'm alive. Everything's going to be okay." Her mom said, "My daughter, I'm not crying because they didn't kill you. I'm crying because of what just came out of your mouth." She said, "These soldiers, they've never encountered the love of Christ. If you don't show it to them, you who are supposed to be his disciple, how will they ever come to know it?" My brothers and sisters, what is the main reason that people enter the Catholic Church, or that people who are already Catholic come to live their faith ever more fully? They meet someone who is living the faith beautifully. Just a few days ago, we celebrated the feast of St. Francis Xavier. Why did St. Francis Xavier become a saint? In fact, many, many spiritual writers, they say, you want to know the fastest way to become a saint? Befriend a saint. St. Francis Xavier was a college roommate with Ignatius of Loyola, St. Ignatius. And Francis Xavier, he wanted to go out and make his mark in the world, make millions of dollars, become famous. And Ignatius would prod him from time to time. What if you gained the entire world, but forfeited your soul in the process? Ignatius said that Francis Xavier was the hardest dough that he ever kneaded. Francis Xavier went, and he is known to have baptized more people than anyone else in the history of Christianity. Over 150,000 people because of the witness of St. Ignatius. St. Padre Pio one time said, "Do you want to know St. Francis of Assisi's greatest miracle?" St. Padre Pio lived just last century. Padre Pio was a Franciscan, a Capuchin monk. He said, "Francis's greatest miracle is that 800 years after his life, people are still trying to imitate him in following our Lord." The witness of one person in this world. We hear of John the Baptist today. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. The reason for his life was so that all might believe through him. I read that a few days ago, and I came into the church, and I knelt down before our Lord, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, and I asked him, "Lord, do people who meet me, when they encounter me, do they encounter you? Can it be said of me that all who meet me come to believe in you because of my witness?" And my eyes welled with tears as many examples of how I fail came to mind. Ways in which I need to grow. My brothers and sisters, what is said of John the Baptist is a call to every one of us. Our lives can touch hundreds, even thousands of others. We are called to witness to the light. Why do most people who leave the church leave? Because of the poor example of Catholics. Oftentimes, the poor example of a priest. The responsibility that we all have as baptized Catholics to be witnesses to our Lord. in my own life, my own family. 20 years ago, my dad, my family, living a very nominal Catholic life. It was because he came upon a man, a Catholic man, who he said when he saw him at a swim meet across the pool, it was as if the man was radiating, like this light was emanating from his face. My dad was so drawn to it that he had to go ask what was going on in his life. The man had just made a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and he said it had totally changed his life. Just because of what my dad saw in him, he wanted to do the same. I remember about 7 years afterwards, with much tension between my parents, largely because my dad wanted to live the faith and my mom preferred to live a more secular life, even though she too was Catholic. The turning point was when my mom came to my dad and she said, "I don't understand how you can live the way you live and you are so joyful. And I live the way I live and I'm so miserable." For me personally, the two things that most brought about my conversion, my dad's tears and his fidelity to prayer. My dad, whom I had never seen cry at the age of 12 years old, when he comes back from a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. And from that moment on to the present day, in fact, I don't even know if he's at this Mass, but as soon as I talk about Our Lady, you can all look at him, he'll probably have tears coming down his cheeks. Whenever he heard Our Lady spoken of, he was moved to tears. And I knew there had to be something special about Our Lady. He loved Our Lady because she led him to his Son. And every night growing up, none of us, I'm one of four kids, my mom, we wanted nothing to do with the Catholic faith, even though we were Catholics, outside of the obligation, which really that's all it was, to go to Mass on Sunday. My dad couldn't even try to implement prayer in the family because we wanted nothing to do with it. So what would he do every night as we were watching TV or doing our homework? He would just very quietly go out the door, the front door, the back door, and he'd return about half an hour later. And we knew what he was doing. He was going to say his prayers, to pray the rosary. He never had to say a single word to me. His fidelity to prayer cracked my broken heart ever more fully open, my hardened heart that wanted nothing to do with the Catholic faith. My brothers and sisters, can it be said of us that our lives bear such testimony that all who meet us might come to believe in our Lord? If there are ways in which we are not living up to our vocation, may we ask for the grace of conversion.